This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi-idhnillahi ta'ala our explanation of the book Kitabu Furu'i al-Fiqhi by the great Hanbali scholar of al-Islam Yusuf ibn Abdul Hadi al-Hanbali rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we move on bi-idhnillahi ta'ala to the fourth section Al-Jinayat wal-Ma'asi. Jinayat, those transgressions, ma'asi, those sins, and are there any penalties related to them? We will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We will talk about the had for consumption of alcohol, the penalty for consumption of alcohol, penalty for the commission of zina, Allahu musta'an. We'll discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala the penalty for the one who is an apostate. We begin al-jinayatu. Jinaya indicates this is i'tida ala al-ghayr, transgression against others, whether it be that you've taken the life of the other, whether it be that you've injured the individual, maybe you've pierced this person's arm, maybe you've cut off their leg, you have caused bodily harm upon them, or ala al-mal, or you've taken from their property, you've stolen their wealth. So the author states, al-jinayatu, this transgression upon the next person, imma ala nafs, it could either be upon their life, or ala al-a'da, or upon their limbs, or ala al-mal, or on their property. Al-jinayatu ala nafs, the first category, transgression upon the life of another, imma amdan fayujibu al-qisas, it could either be that which was intentional, it was amdan, fayujibu al-qisas, you took the life of another intentionally, then this is what we will do upon you, which is qisas, a life for a life. Qisas, like you had done, will be done unto you if you are found guilty with regards to this matter. The author doesn't mention, but you can also add that there is the option of the diya. If the heirs of the deceased, of the victim, they say that we do not want the life of the criminal, we do not want the criminal to be put to death, rather we want the blood money, then this is an option available to them. They could even go down the route and say that we totally forgive this individual. So those are options that they have available. Obviously, our text is a summarized text, and thus the author is not going into all of those details. Again, al-jinayatu ala nafs, transgression upon the life of another, imma amdan fayujibu al-qisas, it is either intentional, and then this brings upon the matter of qisas, like you did will be done unto you. Take note that when it comes to taking the life of another, we talked about intentional. There could also be the category of shibhu amd and khata. Khata is a complete mistake. You went hunting and you tried to shoot the wildebeest, you tried to shoot the buck, but you missed, and rather you shot brother Ahmed. Complete mistake, you didn't intend to do anything like that. So that is khata, that falls in the category of a mistake. Before that category, we have shibhu amd, where you wanted to harm the next person, but you didn't want to kill them. And the instrument or the weapon you used generally would not kill. So you picked up a stone, a small stone, and you hit the individual on his back. But subhanallah, this individual eventually passed away. He was killed. So this is in the category of shibhu amd. Here we will not take your life, but the other options are on the table. The matter of blood money, etc., etc. So when it comes to killing another, we have amdan, intentional. Then we have shibhu amd. You intended to harm, but not to kill. But the person did die. And then we have the category of khata, complete mistake. The author continues, O dunaha, or this type of transgression where you didn't kill the individual, but you transgressed upon their limbs. You cut off his arm, he lost a finger. You poked the man in the eye and now he's gone blind. You cut off this individual's nose. You cut off one toe of Brother Ahmed. What happens in this case? The author states, O dunaha fayujibu addiya. 12,000 dirham أو مئة أو مئة من الإبل أو مئة بقرة أو ألف شاة. It's not ألف شاة. It's not 1,000 sheep. Rather ألف 2,000 sheep. And we can also add أو ألف مثقال من ذهب. ألف مثقاب من ذهب. So here the author is discussing the matter of anything less than intentional murder. So what happens here? The option of the diya applies and not qisas. You cannot take the life of the other because it was not intentional. So the diya applies, the blood money. What is it? He discusses. Ithna ashara alf dirham. 12,000 dirhams. O mi'at min al ibil. O 100 camels. O mi'ata baqara. O 200 cows. O alfa sha. O 2,000 sheep. Subhanallah. And we can also add O alf mithqal min dhahab. Alf mithqal. 1,000 mithqal of gold. So that's the diya, the blood money. The author continues, وَالْجِنَايَةُ عَلَى الْبَعْضِ. This is now not the life of the other, rather we transgressed upon the limbs of another. إِنْ كَانَتْ إِذْهَابَ مَا فِي الْإِنسَانِ مِنْهُ وَاحِدٌ فَفِيهِ أَدِّيَةٌ. If what you did in terms of transgression upon the next person was, you made them lose a limb that they only have one of, then a full diya is due to them. For example, you cut off the nose of Brother Ahmed, and so now you owe Brother Ahmed a full diya. You were in a fight with Brother Salman, and unfortunately, Brother Salman, his privates were lost in this fight. You owe Brother Salman a full diya. Jamil, the author continues and he states, وَمَا مِنْهُ إِثْنَانْ فَفِيهِمَا أَدِّيَةٌ. That which the individual has two of, then for both of them would be a full diya. So one of them would equal half a diya. You poked the eye of Brother Ahmed and he's lost his sight. You owe him half a diya. You poked both of his eyes and he is unable to see now. And so now you owe a full diya. وَمَا مِنْهُ أَرْبَعَةٌ فَفِيهَا أَدِّيَةٌ. That which an individual has four of, then for all four would be a full diya, and for each one of them would be a quarter. So for example, maybe the eyelid, for one section of that eyelid would be a quarter diya, the upper portion, then the lower portion, then the right and the left. So for all of them would equal one full diya. وَمَا مِنْهُ عَشَرَةٌ فَفِيهَا أَدِّيَةٌ. And that which an individual has 10 of, then for each one would be a tenth, and for all of them would equal one full diya. You cut off in a fight the two fingers of Brother Ilyas, you owe him a 20th of a diya. 20th of a diya, because for all 10 fingers would be one full diya, and so for each one would be a tenth, and that's two fingers, so a 20th you owe in terms of the diya to Brother Ilyas. وَفِي كُلٍ بِحِسَابِهِ. And that's how one works out this matter. وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْجِنَايَةُ عَمْدًا. And if this transgression was intentional, فَفِيهِ الْقِصَاصِ, then qisas is due. So you were fighting with Brother Ilyas, and you wanted to poke him, and you stabbed him on his hand, and he lost two fingers. So here, the first option that Brother Ilyas has, for him to go to the Qadi and say that I want the two fingers of this brother to be removed, like he did to me, must be done unto him. This was not a mistake or anything like that. He purposefully was transgressing against me and he cut off my two fingers. I don't want blood money. I want his two fingers to be cut off. And so that's what they would do. وَكَذَلِكَ, the author states, وَكَذَلِكَ كُلُّ جِنَايَةٍ. And that's the rule with regards to all types of transgression. You intentionally hit this person. You intentionally stab this individual. You intentionally cut off three of his toes. oppose, Allahu musta'an, then the same will be done unto you. And there's obviously conditions with regards to this matter. From amongst them, that we must be able to do the same upon the perpetrator. We must be able to do the same upon the perpetrator without transgressing against him. Meaning that if these three fingers were cut off from the bone, then it's easy to do the same upon the perpetrator. But if, for example, it is in the middle of the bone, then especially the classical scholars of old, they say we are unable to do this. Why? Because in the middle of the bone, it's not the joint, it is difficult for us to get mumathala, for us to get the same done upon the perpetrator. We might transgress upon the perpetrator. We might go beyond that exact point. And so because we cannot get the similar, then we move on to the matter of dia. But obviously today, with medical advancements, we are able to do upon the perpetrator as was done upon the victim, an eye for an eye. That's the basic default rule when it comes to the matter of amd, when it comes to intentional transgression upon the next person. وَأَمَّا الْمَعَاصِي فَهِيَ كَثِيرَةٌ. As for sin and the legal penalties associated with them, then they are many. For example, we have hudud, we have the hudud, the legal penalties, the had for alcohol consumption, the had for fornication, the had for apostasy. So there's the hudud. Then there's also certain sins that they have kafara associated with them. Then there are some sins where the sharia has not stipulated exactly what the penalty is going to be, and this is up to the discretion of the qadi, and that is ta'zir, as we will discuss insha'Allah. The author states, a'azamuha az-zina, the worst of these sins, this is the matter of zina, wa yajibu bihi al-had, and the had penalty applies in this case. Lil muhsani ar-rajm, stoning to death is due upon the person who is muhsan. Who is muhsan? Muhsan is the person who was married and they consummated their marriage in the past. Whether they are married right now or they are single right now is irrelevant. As long as this person, man wati'a muslimah, that this person had intimacy, had intercourse with a Muslim woman or a woman from the Ahl al-Kitab, etc. في نكاح صحيح, in a proper valid nikah, and the individual was baligh, was aqil, and was free at that time. Even though this might have been 5 years ago, you were married to Sister Sumayya and the marriage didn't last and you guys got divorced, and right now you are found guilty of zina, you are muhsan, and we will apply the penalty of rajam upon you. What is rajam? Rajam is the death sentence, the stoning to death, Allahu musta'an. This would be applied upon you. Wal bikru al jald mi'ah wa taghribu 'am. As for the virgin, then the virgin will be lashed 100 times wa taghribu 'am, and will be exiled for 1 year. So the one who was married or is currently married, this person will be stoned to death. As for the virgin, then the virgin will be lashed 100 times and exiled for 1 year. وَلَعَبْدُ عَلَىٰ نِصْفِهِ بِلَا تَغْرِيبِ. As for the slave, will get 50 lashes, half of that, and there's no exiling of the slave. وَالْلِوَاطِ مِثْلُهُ. And according to the madhab, the rulings, the regulations related to homosexuality follow the same rules of zina, and the same penalties and conditions also apply there. Then the author discusses, وَمِنْهَا الْقَذْفِ, and false slander, accusations upon this chaste woman. This is a crime. You said to this woman that you are a zaniya. You have fallen into lesbianism, etc. And so this is a crime. You are slandering this person. Where's your proof for this matter? You cannot go around doing these type of actions. مُحَرَّمْ, it is haram. مُوجِبٌ لِلْحَدْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَ. And you will be lashed 80 times if you are unable to provide proof for this accusation. So that's the had of qadhf. Had of qadhf. وَمِنْهَا شُرْبُ الْخَمْرِ. Also from amongst the hudud, the had with regards to alcohol consumption. It is haram to consume alcohol. يُحَدُّ شَارِبُهُ 80. And the one who is found guilty of alcohol consumption will be lashed 80 times. Allahu musta'an. وَمِنْهَا السَّرِقَةُ. Also stealing. What is the definition of stealing? That you are doing this quietly, nobody is watching, you are away from the eyes of the people, and you are stealing from a place of safety. People put it in the safe, people hid this, etc. And you broke into the safe, and now you've taken this money. We're not talking about the money is just lying in the front lawn. No. You did it quietly. Maybe you got into their home, you broke into the safe. Allahu musta'an. This is sariqah. It is obviously haram. And mujibatun lil qat'. And here we will cut off your right hand. Later on, if you found guilty a second time, we will cut off your left leg. Your first time, the right hand. Second time, your left leg. What if you are found guilty of stealing a third time? Then you will be jailed. You will be jailed. We don't cut off your left hand and leave you without any hands, according to the madhab. وَضَمَانْ مَا أُخِذْ. Also, you need to obviously compensate, give back whatever you have stolen. Allahu musta'an. وَمِنْهَا قَطْعُ الطَّرِيقِ. Also, the highway robbers, there's a penalty that they will also be given for this crime. Number one, obviously, this is haram. Number two, مُحَتَّمٌ فِيهِ قَتْلِ مَنْ قَتَلَ وَأَخَذَ الْمَالِ وَصَلْبُهُ. So these highway robbers, they were apprehended, they were caught. What were they doing? They were stealing from the people, they were robbing people, they were killing people. Allahu musta'an. Then these individuals, we break them down into categories. If they had killed and they also stole money, so they had killed and they had also taken money, then these people, they will be killed and they will also be crucified. The bodies must be hung up so people can learn a lesson from this sight. Allahu musta'an. That's the heaviest of the punishment. What if they didn't steal, but they killed people? Then they will be killed. What if they only stole, but they didn't kill anyone? Then we will cut off the right hand and we will cut off the left leg. This is different from the normal sariqah. Sariqah, this person came quietly, went into your house, didn't harm anyone, stole from your safe. There, we spoke about the matter of cutting off the right hand. As for these people, highway robbers, these criminals, they are using weapons, they are showing their weapons, and they are robbing and killing people, then the crime here is severe, and so the penalty must also be severe. So what if they only took wealth and they didn't kill anyone? Here we cut off the right hand and we cut off the left leg. What if they only made people afraid? They didn't kill anyone, they didn't rob anyone. Then as per the verse of the Noble Quran, here we will exile them. We will exile them. وَمِنْهَا الْبَغْ you على الإمام والخروج عليه. Then also the crime of transgressing against the Imam, the legal Imam of the Muslims. You've rebelled against him. خروج upon this Imam. This is haram. يقاتل من فعله. Then this individual who has done this, this group of people who are, they've got some sort of strength with them, maybe they've got weapons with them, etc. They will be fought. They will be fought. So they have some strength and they also have some ta'wil. Ta'wil, that they've got some arguments, maybe interpretation of certain ahadith and certain verses of the Quran, etc. We need to discuss with them, we need to debate with them, we need to convince them of the wrong stance. And if none of that works, then the Imam has the right to fight against them. وَمِنْهَا الرِّدَّةِ. Obviously, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatallah, this is an extremely concise text, and so we are glossing over matters. With each one of these matters, there's a lot of detail that comes with it, as you will find in the Mutawwalat, in the larger fiqh encyclopedias. The next penalty, وَمِنْهَا الرِّدَّةِ. This crime of ridda, apostasy. Apostasy could be by statement, could be by belief, you have doubt, could be by action. So, various categories. It's obviously haram, ridda. مُوجِبَةٌ لِلْقَتْلِ إِلَّا لَمْ يَرُجِعْ. That this individual is given 3 days, and if he does not recant and come back to Islam, then this person will be given the death sentence. وَمِنْهَا السِّحْرِ. Sihr is also a capital punishment, is a capital punishment crime. So sihr, this is when you dabble in the knots, etc. يكفر فاعله, that this individual who dabbles in this leaves the fold of al-Islam, ويقتل إن لم يرجع, and this person is also given the death penalty if they do not recant and come back to that which is correct. As for kahana and tanjim and the araf, these are people who meddle with the jinn, and the jinn informs them of stuff. They look into the planets and the moon and the movements, and they predict future events and stuff like this. This is not kufr, and so the penalty, this had, doesn't apply upon them. Yes, what they are doing, it's a crime, it's a sin, but it does not reach the level of kufr. Whereas when the sahir plays around with the knots and stuff like that, sihr, then that day is kufr. وَكُلُّ مَعْصِيَةٍ فِيهَا حَدْ فَلَا شَيْءٍ فِيهَا غَيْرُهُ, and all of these crimes that have a had penalty, then there's no other penalty which applies. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِيهَا كَفَارًا, even though there might be a kafara that might be due, كَوَطْءِ الصَّائِمْ فِي رَمَضَانِ وَوَطْءِ الْمُظَاهِرِ, the person who has intercourse with the wife while they are fasting in the month of Ramadan, there's a kafara there, but there's no had which applies. وَوَطْءِ الْمُظَاهِرِ, the individual, he says to his wife that you are to me like the back of my mother, and then he had intimacy with her, there's a kafara which is due in this circumstance. Also for the mere statement, there is a kafara which is due. وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ فَلَيْسَ مِنْهَا غَيْرٍ, there's nothing else besides the kafara. There's no had. We don't put the person to death, etc. وَإِلَّا فَفِيهَا التَّعْزِيرُ, all other types of penalties, all other types of crimes, then ta'zir applies. And according to the madhab, you're not allowed to lash the individual more than 10 lashes. So somebody is found guilty of something, that he was with this girl alone in this vehicle and they were messing around, etc. They are not married. So here the Qadi can penalize them, can punish them, but obviously it would not be the penalty of zina, where we require four male witnesses testifying that they saw X, Y, and Z. Wouldn't apply here. Does it mean they go scot-free? No. Based upon the circumstance, the discretion of the Qadi, then he can give them a penalty up to 10 lashes. Hayyakum Allah. The author continues, Al-Khamisu, استخراج ذلك من المعاصي وحقوق الآدميين, basically matters related to the court, related to judgeship. ويحتاج إلى حاكم, it requires a حاكم, a judge. وشهود, the witnesses, those who give their testimony. ويمين, يمين is the oath. وإقرار, إقرار is when somebody confesses. So these are the ingredients for the matter of judgeship. Then we can also add to this نقول, where the individual is told, swear by Allah X, Y, and Z, and he refuses, and so we rule against him. This is the matter of نقول. أما الحاكم فهو الإمام أو نائبه قاض أو غيره. The حاكم, this is the ruler of the Muslims, or it could be his deputy, whoever he puts in charge. It could be the قاضي who's been appointed or similar. ونصبه فرض كفاية وأن يكون مجتهدا. And a community for them to have a qadi, for them to have somebody who rules and judges in these matters, this is fard kifaya. This is something which is a communal obligation. وأن يكون مجتهدا. The qadi, he needs to be a mujtahid. He needs to be somebody who is extremely well versed with regards to the sharia. وأما الشهود فيختلفون باختلاف المشهود به. As for testimony and those who give their testimony, then it depends upon the circumstance. What are they testifying with regards to? فلا يقبل في الزنا إلا أربعة رجال. That when it comes to the matter of zina, we only accept four male witnesses. Four male witnesses when it comes to the matter of zina. وفي الجنايات, and in those matters of bodily harm or the killing of another. والحدود ذكران. So these legal penalties and the killing of another, testimony with regards to those matters, we require two male witnesses. وفي الأموال وما يقصد به, and matters of money, financial issues, رجلان, either two men, أو رجل وامرأتان, or one man and two women. We can also add, when it comes to financial matters, the author mentions two men, yes. Then one man, two women, yes. Then there's also the option of shahid wahid plus yameen al-mudda'i, that one witness and the yameen, the oath of the claimant, the oath of the one who is making the claim. Jayid. Then the author states, وَفِيمَا لَا يَطَّلِعُ عَلَيْهِ الرِّجَالِ إِمْرَأَتَانِ. In those matters which men don't really know about too much, then those matters of a personal nature between women, then here the author mentions we require two women as witness for their testimony. This is a riwayah in the madhab, but as for the official position of the madhab, then one woman suffices. One woman suffices. This woman, she says that I have breastfed so and so five times. There's a husband and wife, and this woman says I've breastfed both of you. Then her testimony suffices in this matter. One woman's testimony would suffice in these matters. وَلَا تُقُبَلُوا شهادة كافرين في غير الوصية في السفر. With regards to the disbeliever, then his testimony is not accepted. ولا فاسق. فاسق is the person who commits major sins, or he commits a lot of minor sins. That this person, he does major sins, or he is addicted to minor sins. ولا صبي, that the testimony of a kid against another kid is not accepted. Wala adu, an enemy to another, the testimony will be rejected. Wala walad, wala walid, that you testifying on behalf of your father, you testifying on behalf of your son, this here will not be accepted. Wa ashiqin lima'shuqatin, that we have two individuals, they love one another, and so one is testifying for the other, then this here will not be accepted. Why? Because your testimony is under suspicion. Wa amma al-yamin, as for the oath, fa fi haqqi kulli munkirin idha lam takun al-bayyinatu hadira. So if the claimant comes and the claimant states that so and so owes me, or so and so has done X, Y, and Z, and he has absolutely no evidence, then the defendant, he has the right of the yameen, he has the right of the oath. And when he swears this oath that I do not owe anyone anything, I have not done X, Y, and Z, then he is set free. Because the claimant has absolutely no evidence whatsoever, and this man's taken his oath, the defendant, and he is given his freedom. Walhamdulillah. The next matter, the author states that وَأَمَّا الْإِقْرَارِ فَكُلُّ مَنْ أَقَرَّ بِحَقٍ أُخِذَ بِهِ, that whoever confesses with regards to any matter, then this confession will be accepted. This is with the rights of mankind, that there is no rujoo' when it comes to the rights of mankind, meaning that you said, yes, I owe brother Ahmed £1,000. 5 minutes later, you say, no, I've changed my mind and I do not owe him. No, we will disregard that changing of the mind, and your confession at the beginning will remain and will keep standing. This is unlike the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody confessed to a matter, we have absolutely no evidence, this was from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he took back his confession. Here we find that the ulama debate. But when it comes to the confession with regards to the rights of man, then there is no rujoo' and there's no taking back of that confession. So example, somebody comes to court, he is the claimant, and he says that Ahmed owes me £1,000. We bring Ahmed, and then we ask this claimant, and we ask Ahmed, what do you say about this matter? Do you acknowledge? He says, no, I don't owe anything. Then we ask the claimant, where's your proof? What proof do you have, etc.? He says, I have absolutely no proof. Then we turn to brother Ahmed, the defendant, and we ask him to swear that he does not owe anything. And if he does that swearing of that oath, then he is set free, walhamdulillah. But if he doesn't swear, he says, no, I'm not going to take an oath that I do not owe anything. If he refuses to swear, the oath, then we rule against him. Then we rule against him, and that's the matter of Nukul. Nukul. The author continues and he states, As-sadisu al-ma'kalu wal-mashrab. Food and drinks, masha'Allah. Fayubahu kullu tahirin la madarrata fihi minhuma. That all matters that are tahir, that are pure, they are permissible to consume. There's no harm, there's no detriment in eating it, in consuming it. La madarrata, there's no harm in it, then you can eat. Min an'am, of livestock, wa thimar, of fruits, wa a'shab, plants and vegetation, wa tayr, birds, masha'Allah, wa hayawan, bahar, wa ma'in, wa fuqa'in, wa nahwihi, and your animals of the ocean, of the water, and fuqa', this is a type of drink that's made with barley. So the default with regards to all of these matters, that they are permissible, they are halal, walhamdulillah. The author continues, وَيَحْرُمُ كُلُّ نَجَسٍ مُضِرٍ. That all those matters which are filthy, which are najis, they are haram. All those matters which are detrimental to your health, eating stones, then this is something impermissible. كَكَلْبٍ, like the dog, haram to eat the dog. وَكُلُّ ذِينَابٍ مِنَ السِّبَاعِ. And all those predatory type of animals with canines, like your dog, like the cheetah, like the lion, they are all impermissible. وَيَفْتَرِسُ bihi, and they hunt. So they have these canines, and they also are hunting animals. وَمِخْلَبٍ مِنَ الطَّيْرِ, and all these birds that possess talons, like your vultures, etc. وَرَخْمٍ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ, these animals that live on the dead, they are these filthy type of animals. All of this is impermissible. وَيَحْرُمُ مُسْتَخْبَثٌ كَقُنْفُذٍ وَفَأْرَةٍ وَكُلُّ حَشَرَاتٍ. All these filthy, repulsive type of creatures, the hedgehog, the rat, all of these insects, they are all impermissible. وَحَشِيشَةٌ مُسْكِرَةٌ. Also intoxicating type of herbs and plants, they are impermissible. وَكُلُّ عُشْبٍ مُضِرٍ كَبَنْجٍ وَشُبْرُمٍ وَنَحْوِهِ وَكُلُّ مُسْكِرٍ كَخَمْرٍ وَنَحْوِهِ وَمَالُ الْغَيْرِ مِنْ غَيْرُ ضَرُورَةٍ دَاعِيَةٍ إِلَيْهِ. The author states that intoxicating plants and herbs, like for example something called the benj and shubrum, they are all impermissible. All categories of intoxicants, wine, they are all impermissible. وَمَالُ الْغَيْرِ, that which does not belong to you, the property of other people, this is prohibited. Unless there's a situation where you are in dire need, then only can you take from the property of others, maybe to save your life, and this person's not giving you permission to eat the sandwich, then here you can go ahead and take off that property, and later on you will obviously have to compensate that person, insha'Allah. Also take note, according to the madhab, when they state that those matters which are mustakhbath, that it's filthy, like insects, that they are impermissible, what standard are we working with? People are different. So the madhab, they use the standard of the Arabs during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If something was mustakhbath to them, then it will remain mustakhbath for all times. So the standard, the ones that we use as the litmus test, as the yardstick, the Arabs during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the author moves on to the last section of the book, Kitabu Furu'i al-Fiqhi, subhanallah. As-sabi'u al-mawarith, the matters related to inheritance. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, remember and remember well that generally the fuqaha, they've put together mustaqil kutub related to this matter. They have independent books related to inheritance. It's a science on its own, subhanallah. The Rahabiyya, etc., etc. The author states, Al-warithu thalathatun, that the heirs, they are of three categories. Dhu fard, those who are given a fard share, a stipulated share, a set share by the sharia. Wa ta'ummu az-zawj, and this includes, for example, the husband, walahu nisf, and he gets half. When does he get half? We will discuss. Ma'al waladi ar-rub'i, and if there are children of the deceased involved, there are children left over, then he will get a quarter. So that covers all of the scenarios of the husband. The husband, he will get a small quarter if his deceased wife left behind any of her children, he will get a small quota. But if his deceased wife didn't have any children, whether from him or from another husband before him, etc., she didn't have any children at all, then he will get a big half. Walhamdulillah. So the husband is between a big half and a small quota. وَالزَّوْجَةُ And the second of those who are given a prescribed set fard share, الزَّوْجَةُ The wife. وَلَهَا الرُّبْعُ وَلَهَا الرُّبْعُ مَعَ الْوَلَدِ الثُّمُنْ وَلَوْ تَعَدَّدَتْ That she will get a big quarter if her deceased husband did not leave behind any children at all. And she will get a small 1/8 if her deceased husband left behind children. وَلَوْ تَعَدَّدَتْ Whether there's one wife, two wives, three, four, they will share from that share. Example, someone passed away and he left behind four wives and he left behind seven children. So because there's children involved, those four wives will share a small 1/8. Someone passed away, he had no children and he had four wives. Those four wives will share a big quarter, inshallah. The next one.
وَالْأَبُ مَعَ ذُكُورِ الْوَلَدِ لَهُ السُّدُسِ وَالْجَدُّ كَذَلِكَ
The father, if there are male offspring of the deceased, then the father will get 1/6 and the grandfather the same. The grandfather will obviously only inherit if the father of the deceased is not around. Take note, when we say that there was a wife or there was a husband, there are two sons, there's a daughter, there's a father, this is in relation to who? This is all in relation to the deceased. All of these heirs, you must understand them in relation to the deceased. Wal ummu, mother of who? The mother of the deceased. Laha athuluth, she has an option of getting 1/3. Ma'al waladi wa ma'al waladi as-sudus. But if they are the children of the deceased, then she will get 1/6, just like the father. If the deceased had any children, whether sons, whether daughters, whether grandkids, whether great-grandkids, etc., when the author mentions the word walad, this includes the son, includes the daughter, includes any other grandkids that come after that. So the she will get 1/6 if there are children of the deceased involved in the scenario, inshallah.
وَالْجَدَّةُ لَهَا السُّدُسِ
As for the grandmother, then she only has the option of 1/6. She doesn't take the place of the mother in all respects. She has the option of 1/6 and she will only get if there is no mother in the equation.
وَالْبِنْتُ لَهَا النِّصْفِ وَمَعَ أَخٍ ذَكَرٍ عَصَبَةٍ
As for the only daughter, she will get half of the estate. She will get half the estate, subhanAllah. Estate of who? Estate of the deceased, whether it was her father or whether it was her mother.
وَمَعَ أَخٍ ذَكَرٍ عَصَبَ
But if she has a brother, then they will play the 2-to-1 game. Someone passed away, left behind a son and a daughter. Here, the son will get 2 shares, the daughter will get 1 share, and so they are playing the 2-to-1 game, inshallah.
وَالْأُخْتُ كَذَلِكَ
وَبَنَاتُ الْإِبْنِ كذلك. And the sister and the daughter of the son, they are similar. Meaning that if they are alone, they will take half. And if they have their brother with them, then they play the 2-to-1 game. Example, someone passed away, left behind 2 sons and 1 daughter. These 2 sons and 1 daughter, they will play the 2-to-1 game. 2 shares to this one son, 2 shares to the other son, and 1 share to the daughter. So if £500,000 were left, one son will take 200,000, the other son 200,000, and the daughter will take 100,000. Walhamdulillah.
وَإِنْ زَادَتَ عَلَى وَاحِدَةٍ كَانَ لَهَا الثُّلُثَانِ
And if there are 2 daughters, or 3 daughters, or 5 daughters, or 10 daughters involved, and there's no brother with them, if there are 5 sisters, and there's no brothers with them, if there are 3 of the daughters of the son, and there's no brother with them to play the 2-to-1 game, then in all those scenarios, they will get 2/3. The only
five daughters that the deceased left behind. He's got no other children. These five daughters will share 2/3. Deceased passed away, left behind 20 daughters. They will share 2/3. Deceased passed away and left behind 20 sisters. They will share 2/3. And when I mention they will share the 2/3, don't ask, well, where's the son, where's the daughter? They're not mentioned, meaning that they are not there, that they are not present at all. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ بِنْتٌ وَبَنَاتُ إِبْنٍ كَانَ لِلْبِنْتِ النِّصْفُ وَلِبَنَاتِ الْإِبْنِ السُّدُسُ. And if we have a scenario where there's an only daughter, she will get half, and there's the daughter of the son, then the daughter of the son will get 1/6. And technically, if you add that up, the half and the 1/6, it comes to 2/3. Walhamdulillah. وَإِنْ كَانَ بِنْتٌ وَأَخَوَاتٌ كُنَّا عَصَبَاتٌ. And if we have a scenario where there's daughter and their sisters, then they are asabat to one another. وَوَلَدُ الْأُمِّ إِنْ كَانَ وَاحِدْ لَهُ السُّدُسْ وَإِنْ زَادَ لَهُ الثُّلُثْ. That your maternal brothers and sisters, that if there's just one of them, then they get 1/6. And if there are more than one, then no matter what their number, they will share 1/3. They will share 1/3. This is the maternal siblings. These are the relatives of the deceased that are linked to him via his mother's side. Generally, they do not inherit. But the only time that they do or they can is if you have absolutely no relatives on your father's side, then those on your mother's side stand a chance to inherit. So if there's absolutely nobody on the father's side, then for example, the daughter's children. Daughter's children, they don't generally inherit. They are from the Dhawil Arham. So the daughter's children, they could stand a chance to inherit what share, what haq, etc. It would be based upon what the daughter's share is. Whatever the daughter's share was, then that's the amount that they stand to inherit, insha'Allah. The author states, وَكُلُّ قَرِيبٍ مِّنَ الْعَصَبَاتِ يَحْجِبُ Al-Ba'id, that with regards to the near family members, they block out and eliminate those who are further away from them. So for example, your father will block out your grandfather, your mother will block out your grandmother. The father is also boss. The father blocks out your siblings. Your father blocks out your siblings. So someone passes away, he leaves behind a father and four brothers and four sisters. The four brothers and four sisters will not inherit. Four brothers and four sisters will not inherit, because the father is boss and the father blocks them out. Although there is ikhtilaf on this mas'ala here. And remember, when it comes to inheritance, we have the prescribed heirs. They get a set share, 6 of those fractions mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. Then we look at the closest male relative. Whatever is left over, the closest male relative gets the rest. Walhamdulillah. Also, one must remember that there are 6 heirs that they cannot be excluded unless they exclude themselves. Your father, your mother will always inherit. Your father, your mother will always inherit. The spouses will always inherit. The husband, the wife will always inherit. The son, the daughter, they will always inherit. These 6 will always inherit. Inherit. As for other heirs, dependent upon the circumstance. Walhamdulillah. Wal-ummu tahjibu al-jaddah. The mother blocks out the grandmother. Wal-abu yahjibu al-jadd. The father blocks out the grandfather. Wal-walad yahjibu walad al-umm wal-akhawat. And the offspring of the deceased blocks out the maternal siblings and also blocks out the akhawat, the sisters. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, would that be Iznillahi Ta'ala? We come to the end, subhanAllah, of this book here, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah. We ask Allah for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our studying of this text a means of earning His closeness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our study of this text a means of intercession and a means for us entering into paradise. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. This was a beautiful text. It was a very simple text. It is not an advanced text. It in reality is the most concise of all of the Hanbali texts that cover all matters of fiqh. It is a beautiful text that gives the beginner student a bird's eye view over the matters of fiqh. Walhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. Hayyakumullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.